This is Book Public from Texas Public Radio. I'm Yvette Benavides. On today's episode, Back After This, a novel by Linda Holmes. In Linda Holmes' novel, Back After This, Cecily Foster is a podcast producer. She dedicates her time at work at a media outlet called Palmetto, supporting the work of others as a jack of all trades. She's mainly a podcast producer, and she's good at it. A boss who has disappointed her too many times finally gives her a shot at hosting her own show. At last. The problem is, not only is she the host, she's also the subject of the podcast. More specifically, her dating life will be the main focus. Besides that, as part of their deal, she must allow Eliza Cassidy, a social media influencer and relationship coach, to be her guide on this dating journey for all to hear about on the podcast. And here's this catch. Cecily does not really want to put her whole life on display for the listening public, but it could mean that she can protect a friend's job if she agrees to her boss's latest directive. Cecily has to agree to go on 20 blind dates, all coordinated and planned by Eliza. But by this point, Cecily cannot stop thinking about Will, a guy she met quite by accident and keeps meeting in unexpected places. The 20 dates keep coming. Listeners are weighing in and cheering on Cecily's love connections and just about anything the influencer Eliza says and does. But what about what Cecily wants? And what about Will? Cecily can't stop thinking about Will. This novel is smart, compelling, and fun. Public radio aficionados will appreciate their love language written all over this romantic and super engaging novel. I spoke to author Linda Holmes about her latest novel, Back After This. Linda Holmes, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about Back After This. Can you tell me about your main character, Cecily Foster?
Cecily is a very experienced audio producer who is working at a private podcast company. And she gets the opportunity at long last to host her own show, but it's not really the show that she hoped for. It's a show about dating where she is partnered with a kind of a dating coach influencer who is going to set her up on 20 blind dates, and she's going to try to find somebody to fall in love with. And as she gets into that project, she also sees a big dog running down the street, and through trying to help that big dog, meets a guy who is not part of the 20 dates experiment, but she kind of likes him too. So then she has to sort of figure out what to do.
You have a background in public radio the way that your character does. And I have to tell you that as someone from Texas Public Radio, Palmetto, I mean, you nailed it. This world that you created and the way it intersects with social media and engagement with the community. I started to think about how it's not such a niche thing. I don't think that at its core, it's such a niche thing. So this is still very much a story with a tremendous reach. You know, people listen to podcasts. I think they have an idea of how things go in a newsroom or in public media. But can you tell me where this particular idea for this novel came from? So it's so fun.
Oh, thank you. You know, I think that the media industry has always been a place where people have set a lot of books about young creative people, and not even always young people, but, you know, creative people trying to sort of make their way. And that goes back to people. You know, there are plenty of stories about people who work in book publishing, or for a while it was magazines. Everybody in every kind of rom-com worked at a magazine. So in some ways, this kind of thing where somebody is being prodded by their work to try something that they wouldn't otherwise do, in her case, these 20 blind dates, in some ways, that's a classic. But I also think that audio I've not always been thrilled with the fictional portrayals of audio. They've varied, some better than others. But I think it's still something that's not necessarily as well understood as I wish it were in terms of how much work goes into producing good audio. And so I think for me, I also just felt like giving people a little glimpse of that would give the story some color and shape that it would definitely, you know, benefit from.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, I think about the ways that public media is
under fire lately. I feel mm-hmm. like your novel in such interesting ways can show readers, besides everything else, this wonderful romantic story, this wonderful story about the people who work in this industry. But it shows readers that producing content like news and information or a podcast is a very involved process requiring, I mean, hours and hours of work, very particular skills and talents, and also a heart for it, right? So I think your book does that so incredibly beautifully. And I wonder if that's the kind of reaction you've received so far from people who do this work too.
I mean, it is. And I'm very, very glad that that is how it felt to you. You know, I came into audio. I didn't come to NPR until I was in my 30s, and I did not really plan to be an audio person myself. I came to NPR to be a writer, and discovering the deep love and the exacting work that goes into audio, including audio that sounds like it's fairly naturalistically done, that was a really wonderful thing for me. And it was an example of discovering kind of a whole community and world of super passionate people that I didn't know a lot about before that. And so that's why this book kind of ends up being, in a lot of ways, my expression of gratitude to audio producers and editors who have really made the career that I have now possible. And that's very meaningful to me.
That's so beautiful. I feel the same way about it. I mean, I don't want people to think like, oh, you have a podcast, you just go in and sit in front of the mic and it's all, you know, that's all you do. Like, you could just take a picture of something with your phone, or you can just create a podcast with very simple tools in it. Your book really disabuses us of this idea, and we see how involved the process is. One of the things that I love about this book is the way that Cecily is kind of ageless, though. She's in her 30s, and one of the younger employees calls her mom. But she's mm-hmm. someone, I get that too, but she's someone who thinks young, and she's innovative, she's creative, and she's forward-thinking. But her movie references are Midnight Run, you know. Yes. Her pop culture references are like Brady Bunch, and She's All That, and Fame. So I just found her to be ageless, like a character for everyone. So I wondered, was there a little auto fiction there with you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I am significantly older than Cecily. It is probably never going to be possible for me to entirely make her references and the things she knows about and cares about exactly identical to, you know, what they would be in a real person. What I have tried to do is, you know, make it things that that I do believe have stuck around enough that a younger person would conceivably know about them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people younger than me still know about the Brady Bunch differently than I do, but, you know, they still know about it. They know about Midnight Run. It's a fun kind of road movie. But listen, there are always going to be those tells, I think. And so I cop to that 100%.
I love it. I love Cecily. She's just such a rich character. But there is an ensemble here that, for me, is as fully realized and as realistically drawn. Everybody that she works with, everybody, and the sister. And so I'm wondering where these characters came from, particularly the ones who work at Palmetto, like mm-hmm. Toby and some of yeah. these characters. Are they composites of people you've known, or because it's, I just feel like it's so fun, and I feel like these are people that exist in every newsroom.
That's the thing. I think they are sort of composites of people that I've known, but they're also people who I think that certain qualities about them recur over and over again. Her boss, Toby, who you mentioned, is just the kind of like hustle guy that I think every media company has a certain number of them. And sometimes you find them really inspiring, and sometimes they're really fun, and sometimes they're really frustrating, and sometimes they're disappointing. And I think that the people that she works with are people who you know, none of them are directly based on young producers that I know, but a lot of them have qualities and a kind of an enthusiasm and a way of thinking about the world that is familiar to me from young producers that I have known, how much they care about their work and how much they feel the precarity of the industry and their own position sometimes. And how, I think one thing that happens in the book is that Cecily learns that some of the people who are younger than she is have a better sense of separation between self and job than she does. And I think that is something that I have observed in people who are younger than I am.
Well, I have one last question for you. I want you to know that I am your kind of person because I almost always read the acknowledgments first.
Oh, good.
I like your idea. You say, just about everything we create is a team effort in one way or another. And that's so true about podcasting and about public media, isn't it?
It's absolutely true. And that is, as much as anything, what the book is about. None of these projects are solo projects. There are, you know, to the degree that there are solo podcasts, they're very rare. It's usually a bunch of people working together. That's why I always tell people, listen to your podcasts until the end and listen through the credits. And you'll hear how many people put their heart and soul into making that work for you.
I can't thank you enough, Linda Holmes, for talking to me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Linda Holmes is the author of Back After This. It's published by Ballantine Books. Linda Holmes is a New York Times best-selling author of Evie Drake Starts Over and Flying Solo. She's a pop culture correspondent for National Public Radio and one of the hosts of the popular podcast Pop Culture Happy Hour. This has been Book Public from Texas Public Radio. Jacob Rosati composed our theme music. Dan Katz is Texas Public Radio's news director. I'm Yvette Benavides.